Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
Would you have had Matt Ryan in your top 10?
I would have had him in my top 10 for sure.
You're so full of it. I like to see that the fact that you've left hasn't changed your lying ways. You're so full of it. There's no way you would have.
Absolutely. Those are the dulcet tones of Matthew Berry. Here we go.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this Matthew Berry edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. I am Pod Vader, here to lead you through a very special, Super Bowl edition, non-Super Bowl edition of the podcast. We've been providing you with some great content here as we wait for the big game happening, still 1 week away. I can't wait. It's way too far away. But we'll talk about that with Matthew Berry, the fantasy guy at ESPN, and a whole bunch of other good stuff there with my good friend Matthew. It was a good reunion, and Matthew was very gracious with his time, so appreciate that. Before we get to all of that, be sure to you do subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or AHA Radio, so you don't miss any of the podcasts that we've been providing you. Just yesterday, we released a show about the AFC, a non-Super Bowl edition, talking about the AFC teams and what we can expect to see, what they're going to have to do in the offseason heading into next football season. And coming tomorrow, you'll be able to get the NFC edition of that podcast. So plenty of good stuff. Next week, we should have a prop bet Super Bowl show for you, which will be led by Houston James, who's always good with that sort of thing. He did one last year and it was fantastic. I'll have the Matts back again, Matt Williamson and Matt Chatham, to break down all the Super Bowl matchups. And then, of course, the Supervan Super Bowl preview will happen on Thursday next week. Should be a good time. We'll recap the Super Bowl right after the Super Bowl ends, so you'll have that podcast ready for you pretty quickly that evening, so you can listen to the Superfan thoughts on how the game plays out. And then we'll be gone for about a week or so before you hear us again, and we'll jump right into the offseason as we got the Combine coming up here in February and all sorts of good stuff. The draft, this is where the Superfans come to shine. So please do subscribe to the show so you don't miss any. And of course, if you want to be a super fan, we have plenty of openings available. Pretty much at this time of year, we're doing all sorts of evaluations on the podcast, how we can present more content to you in a quicker way, or how we can shorten some of the podcasts, because we know that the length of our preview show is something that might be turning you off. Those are all things that we're looking at. And of course, the super fans themselves were evaluating their contributions to the show. So if you haven't heard from your super fan in quite some time, or you haven't seen anything from your super fan in quite some time, apply, because there's a very good chance that we'll bring you on board and replace the current superfan with you. But we do have some superfan openings, specifically the Tennessee Titans, the Detroit Lions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and there's a few others in there. So please do apply to be a superfan. nextfanup@gmail.com. And if you want to get in touch with us in other ways, you can always check us out on the social medias. That is at NFU Podcast on Twitter and on Facebook.com/NFU Podcast. You'll be able to find all of our written work, and our podcasts are there as well. All right. Enough promoting. Well, maybe not enough promoting, because here comes the king of promotions, Matthew Berry. It's my pleasure now to bring in the man of many trades, star of stage and screen, the prettiest girl in the room, and I suppose I can call him friend. It is Matthew Berry, the fantasy guy over at ESPN. Matthew, it's been too long.
Pod Vader, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. I'm happy, obviously, that the season is almost over. One game left to go. Your Patriots, of course, and the Falcons. Right. The fantasy season is basically over, so I get a little bit of time to reintroduce myself to my kids and relax a little bit. So it was a good season. It was a weird fantasy season, but I'm happy. So
let's start there. What are some of the things that really took you by surprise in 2016 in terms of fantasy?
Well, just, I mean, I think a lot, right? So, I mean, I think sort of, you know, everyone was on wide receivers this year, and you know, you maybe don't expect everyone to come through, but I was surprised at, frankly, how poor a lot of the elite wide receivers played this year from a fantasy perspective, right? Just, I mean, Allen Robinson, Brandon Marshall, completely in the tank. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, had a very tough year. A.J. Green gets hurt. Dez Bryant gets hurt. You know, Julio Jones was very inconsistent. You know, I mean, he had a couple of weeks, you know, he had, of course, the 300-yard week. But, you know, he had some weeks where he won you the week, and then he had other weeks where he just disappeared, which when you think about how good a season the Falcons had and how good a season Matt Ryan had, that was very surprising to me. You know, it took Odell Beckham Jr. quite a while to get going. So I think just the inconsistency of the wide receivers, which traditionally has always been the most consistent position outside of quarterbacks. You know, Tristan Cockcroft over here at ESPN does his consistency ratings. He does a column every week. He does his year in, and he's been doing it for years, and year in, year out, after quarterback, wide receiver is the most consistent position, and it felt like this year it just wasn't, especially at the upper level. So that was surprising as well. You know, there's always players that sort of come out of the woodwork. Surprised at sort of how bad the tight end position was. Some of that was due to injury, obviously, with Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Reed. Some of that just due to, you know, honestly, inconsistent performances. Greg Olsen, frankly, the Panthers team as a whole, Cam Newton, you know, you certainly didn't expect that kind of year out of Cam Newton coming off of his MVP season. So, you know, I just, those were some of the surprises to me. And honestly, I'll say this, as long as we're, you know, we're talking about the Super Bowl a little bit, the Falcons. You know, I mean, I'll cop to it, right? I had Matt Ryan outside my top 15, and it's not that I think Matt Ryan's a bad quarterback. I actually think he's a very good NFL quarterback. But he's a guy that had never had a top five finish in his entire career. I think he only had two top sevens. Again, this is coming into this season. I believe he had only two top sevens in his career. Kyle Shanahan, as an offense coordinator, had only had two top five fantasy quarterbacks his entire life. He had Matt Schaub once way back in the day with Houston, and RG3's rookie year. And obviously that was a lot due to the rushing. So you just didn't think, especially considering they brought in Alex Mack in the offseason and improved that offensive line, a healthy Tevin Coleman after what Freeman did last year, the expectation was it would be a more balanced offense, it would be more running by the Atlanta Falcons. And so the fact that the Falcons were such an explosive offense and that Matt Ryan had a career year and was just a fantasy superstar, I think, was certainly very surprising.
In some ways, I think I liked the Falcons last year a lot, and thought that they'd be able to carry some of that over into this year, and especially with the improvements on the offensive line. I'm always curious how not specifically you, but you as a fantasy industry think about these sorts of things, because when I look at fantasy, I'm always looking at it from the real NFL perspective, and I'm looking at when we look at the Falcons, you know, yeah, the running game should have definitely improved, and it did, but ultimately when that opened up, it opens up the passing game for the Falcons. So I wasn't too surprised by a little bit because of the level that it exploded to.
Yeah, I mean, no one expected it. You didn't. I mean, like, if you had done preseason rankings, would you have had Matt Ryan in your top 10?
I would have had him in my top 10 for sure.
You're so full of it. I like to see that the fact that you've left hasn't changed your lying ways. You're so full of it. There's no way you would have. Absolutely wrong.
Well, I mean, and to that degree, here's the other thing that I'm curious. I'm looking at your early 2017 rankings here in your top 100. And the first quarterback you have isn't until number 35. Don't quarterbacks score the most fantasy points?
Don't what? The quarterbacks score the most fantasy points?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But that's one of the reasons why quarterbacks go low, because there's such a depth of the position. Standard 10-team league, you only basically are starting 10 quarterbacks. And, you know, there are, you know, in any given week, you know, 15 to 17 viable quarterbacks. So replacement level on the waiver wire is actually very high, especially compared with other positions. There's always a, I mean, you know, this year,
Obviously, Matt Ryan was somebody that you could pick up off the waiver wire. Dak Prescott, obviously, was somebody as well. Tyrod Taylor, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins all went outside the top 10, although I had Cousins and Carr pretty high. You know, so there's always sort of guys like that that emerge, or even guys that like have a good couple of weeks here or there. You know, somebody that's playing the Saints in a particular shootout, something like that.
You know, for all the talk about Blake Bortles regression going into 2016, he still finished rather high in terms of scoring.
He was the top 10 fantasy quarterback. He Bortled his way to a respectable finish. It wasn't good, and it was, certainly inconsistent. It was hard to kind of predict and project. He did not have a good year. He make no mistake.
From a football perspective, he definitely did not have a good year. That's
yeah,
for sure.
He finished the year as a top 10 fantasy quarterback, which is one of those and there were definitely weeks where he was useful. So, he Bortled his way. He definitely regressed this year. He regressed this year both NFL wise and fantasy wise. But I agree with you. When you look at the numbers, it wasn't as terrible as you might have initially thought if you didn't know where he finished in the final standings.
All right, enough about that. Who cares about that? Let's get to the nonsense. You know, I download, I don't listen, but I've noticed that you started doing Fantasy Bachelor podcast.
That's right.
What the heck is? How did you manage this coup?
Well, because I'm a company man, as you well know. ESPN, in conjunction with ABC, launched this year a fantasy game around The Bachelor, and so. You can play it on ESPN.com/fantasy. You go to, I believe it's ABC.com/. I actually don't know how you get to it from ABC.com. Just go to ESPN.com/fantasy or go to ESPN.com and click on the fantasy nav, the drop down, and you'll see it right there. Or if you have an ESPN fantasy app, you just click on the, you'll see there's like a icons for sports. There's hockey sticks, there's footballs, etc. There's one at the very right that's a trophy. You click on the trophy, it gives you a bunch of different mini games, what we call mini games, and one of them, of course, is the Bachelor Fantasy game. Anyway, so they launched this in conjunction with ABC, and it took off. It's like wildfire. I mean, it's become an extremely popular game. We had the amount of people playing the game far exceeded internal expectations, and so as someone who loves reality television, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And they had asked me to play in it, and just be part of like a celebrity group of ESPN personalities to play the game. So once I told my wife, I'm like, look, I'm playing this game, so if I'm going to play it, I'm going to try to win. We're going to watch The Bachelor. The conversation was, well, do you want to do a podcast? And, you bet. So, yeah, we've done we do a weekly Bachelor podcast. We just finished one today. We'll do one, we do one after every episode. And in 2 weeks, we have The Bachelor himself, Nick, coming on the show. So we're excited about that, and we've been having a lot of fun with it.
Did you happen to get Mel Kiper's big board involved in the podcast? Because I know Mel is a big Bachelor.
Matt, yeah. Mel is, in fact, the podcast that we just recorded today, we bring up Mel's big board, and he does a Bachelor big board. He does it for ESPNW.com every single week. He has Whitney at number two, which is just insane. Are you watching The Bachelor this year, Pod?
No, I don't watch The Bachelor. That is one of the most garbage reality shows.
Ever. Oh, dude, it's so good. It's like 25 attractive young crazy women. Unbelievable.
I
it's
get
so
the
good. My wife and I love it. It's fun to watch with a wife. I bet Benet loves it.
No, Benet does not. Benet is too much into the Real Housewives. She's just she's obsessed.
All right, so it's the same thing. And anyway, so we're enjoying it tremendously. But Whitney, who like barely talks, like Whitney has no personality. No one knows what Whitney is, and yet she's number two on Mel's big board. So
he's a sleeper.
We're actually going to have, as long as I'm promoting, next week's Bachelor episode, which we will record on Tuesday of next week. It'll be out Tuesday of next week. Of course, The Bachelor is Monday nights on ABC. We were going to have the legend himself, Mel Kiper Jr., to reveal his big board and talk, and we'll see if Whitney is still high, because I think it's a crazy, crazy prediction.
Yeah, it's I'm surprised because of all the reality shows that are out there, that there seems to be more and more content being developed around The Bachelor. I'm seeing more and more interaction on the social medias, and of course,
people,
you guys
love this show.
Fantasy
and,
game.
And it's because, yeah. Does Blog Talk Radio not have a Bachelor podcast? That's shocking to me.
Oh no, we do. We have the Bachelor wrap up show. If you want to hear some good Bachelor content, the newest episode just dropped last night, as a matter of fact, and is available at blogtalkradio.com.
There you go.
Thank you. Now I'm a company man.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have a jingle. Gonna have to work on that. All right. So there's The Bachelor. Fantastic. I asked people to send in emails, Matthew.
Sure.
And we've got a whole combination, a whole slew of emails, both fantasy related and dating advice related.
Yeah, of course.
So let's start with a fantasy one, because I know how much you love these types of questions.
Right. Yeah.
This one comes from Kyle, who writes, "Who would you keep if you only had one keeper spot left, Dak Prescott or Melvin Gordon?"
Melvin Gordon. I just think, again, we go just to sort of the depth of the position. Look, I think Dak's a special player, but Gordon, and we'll see what happens, obviously, in San Diego, whether Danny Woodhead comes back, whether they sign anyone. Certainly a large portion of what Melvin Gordon did workload-wise was partially because he was all they had when Danny Woodhead went out very early in the season. All that said, Anthony Lynn, the new head coach of the San Diego Chargers, is a former running backs coach, and I would expect, especially after the year he just had, Melvin Gordon to be a focal point of that offense and sort of workhorse of running backs, especially with the talent of Gordon, are few and far between. So I think Gordon is the no-brainer.
By the way, you're going to have to get used to it. It's the former San Diego Chargers. It's the Los Angeles
the
Chargers.
Chargers
of San Diego.
Right. Hey.
Yeah. I was looking at the on your rankings where you have Melvin Gordon at number 11, and the team is LAC. I was like, he plays for the Clippers? Oh no. Anyway, it's gonna take some
LA
time.
LA Chargers. That's right. Yeah, it's gonna take some time.
All right. Plus, I was waiting for you to say, does he say how large his league is? Because none of that information is available here, and all that good stuff that you used to give me trouble for. This one comes to us from Timmy in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
Hey, Pod, love that you were able to get the prettiest girl in the room on the show. I saw Matthew Berry tweeted, "No," when teams started to interview Sean McVay for head coaching positions. Do you think he'll be successful in L.A., or is Gruden the real reason that Cousins has been able to improve the past two seasons?
I do think he'll be successful in L.A. I'm a big Sean McVay fan. And look, there's a reason why a 30-year-old coach, why a 30-year-old has become a head coach and why he's risen so quickly. I think Jay Gruden and you know, Sean McVay is part of the Jay Gruden coaching tree, right? And so I think it's a combination of I think Cousins' success is due to a lot of factors, right? I think it's the offense, and that was designed by Jay Gruden and Sean McVay. I think it's the play calling that was Sean McVay. I also think it's the work that both Gruden and Sean McVay, along with quarterbacks coach Matt Kavanaugh, who's now the new offense coordinator of the Redskins, I think it's also due to their work. And honestly, let's not fault the players. Kirk Cousins is a good player. He's put the work in. He's put the work in hard. And it helps when you're throwing to DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Jamison Crowder, Jordan Reed. They didn't really have a run game. I mean, so they, he had a lot of very talented pass catchers. I would put the Redskins pass catching core, just forget fantasy for a second, just from an NFL skill standpoint, I'd put the Redskins pass catching core up with any team, and I think they would hold their own. You could say this team might be better, that team might be better, but not by a lot. So it's certainly a group of very talented weapons around him, and the offensive line improved tremendously as well. Kirk Cousins was one of the quarterbacks in the NFL that got sacked the lowest, so he almost always had a clean pocket. So, which is a credit to Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach, and the Redskins up front. So a lot goes into somebody's success.
You know, talking about your Redskins, are you worried at all about Jordan Reed and all the concussions?
Sure, of course. You know, especially given his history, it's, you know, something that Stefania talks about all the time on our show, just in general about concussions and specifically about Jordan Reed. So I'm certainly nervous. I'm nervous about the team. I did not want to lose Sean McVay. I really didn't. Ultimately, I think it'll be interesting to see what they do in the offseason and the draft. You know, they got to sign Cousins to a long-term deal in my opinion. I'd love to see them bring back DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. I don't think that happens. But I'm hopeful at least one of them. I think we've got a better shot with Garçon than Jackson because it looks like Philly's going to make a big play for Jackson. But, obviously we have a lot of holes on defense. So, to me, that's the bigger key. I think ultimately the offense, assuming Cousins resigns, ultimately the offense will be fine. Jay Gruden's going to go back to calling the plays. Kavanaugh, new OC instead of quarterback's coach, but there's familiarity there with Kirk Cousins. It's really going to depend on whether Cousins is back and what we do on defense.
Timmy adds, also with the Rams taking so much heat for their logo change, how would you feel if Dan Snyder finally renamed your team?
I'd be fine with it.
Look, I would assume, as long as it didn't have like a W that had stars and stripes in it.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, but I mean, I would be, whatever they're called, you know, if they stay the Redskins, again, look, I'm not Native American, so I can't speak to that offends me. It doesn't offend me. But again, I'm not Native American. So, I can see why some, I don't want to sit here and say, that it does or does not offend me because, again, I'm not in their shoes. So I certainly can understand why someone might say that it does. But, as of right now, the NFL is saying their name is the Washington Redskins, so I call them the Washington Redskins. And if they ever were to change their name, I'd be fine with it, you know.
Jaunty writes in, from your years of experience, Matthew, what is the best way to prevent a Diet Soderbergh podcast from becoming Patriots Today, go Raiders?
I think the key there is the host. Mm. Does Pod Vader have to be the host? Are you stuck with him? If you are, then good luck with that. But you were saying before, you and I had a little conversation where we caught up before we started recording, and you were talking about, you know, I was congratulating you on the Patriots being in the Super Bowl again, and you're just sort of like, yeah.
Yeah,
it's sort of expected at this point. Like, you're happy, but, like, it's just, you guys are so spoiled, Patriots fans are. Like, it's ridiculous. What was the stat? Something like, you know, Tom Brady's been a quarterback for 15 years, and he's played in the AFC Championship game, like, 11? Something, yes. Some crazy stat like that.
He's been in the Super Bowl 7. Half of his career has been in a Super Bowl.
I mean, it's just stupid. That's just, I mean... So it's just ridiculous. So.
And he's still not my favorite Patriot quarterback of all time. So
that's Steve Grogan, I assume?
No, Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Sure,
all right.
Of course.
Lando, who is the owner of the Rusted Rail in North Dakota. That will be important in a few moments.
Lando is the owner of the Rusted Nail in Montana.
Rusted Rail.
The Rusted Rail.
In North Dakota.
Rusted Rail, North Dakota. Got it. All right. I'm on board. All right. What do we got here with Lando?
All right. First, he starts with, I am the commissioner of a 12-team IDP dynasty league. That's
right.
Hardcore. One of the owners is kind of a tool. He pays his dues, sets his lineups, just always complaining, proposing rule changes to make the league more like other leagues he's in. I want to kick him out and replace him. Can I make an executive decision or do I need a unanimous vote? Have you ever been in a league with somebody you literally can't stand?
Sure, of course. I think it depends on it will get personal. This guy will be offended. And so I think the question is whether you are friends with this person, whether you care about maintaining a relationship with this person. If you care about maintaining a relationship with this person outside, because, look, there are people that I have played fantasy with who I really like a lot in real life, but just I don't enjoy playing fantasy with them. And so I think it depends on, you know, what you would like to happen. If he's somebody you want a relationship with outside of fantasy, then I think you need to be a little more gentle. I think you need to get more support. And that way you can say, like, look, this is the will of the people. I'm sorry, dude. You know, I have to think about the greater good. But if you don't care, then I think you can just make an executive decision. Hey, I'm the commissioner. My call. Guy's annoying.
He added.
But I do think it would be, if I were in that position, and even if I were making an executive decision like that, I'd probably at least run it by, you know, I'd probably, you know, call a couple of the guys in the league and be like, hey, I don't know, you know, I'm thinking about getting rid of Bill, you know, you good with that? You okay with that? Like, you know, just because what you don't want is, you know, some sort of mutiny or like a lot of other people that are like, I like him. I like him too, you know, and so you don't want that. Because what may be annoying to you may not be annoying to the other people, especially if, like, he's only suggesting the rule changes to you, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Sure. Lando adds, enjoy your off season. Thanks for all the time you put in. You should come to North Dakota for one of your live podcasts. I know this little bar called the Rusted Rail in Underwood that would give you one hell of a welcome.
Got it. Appreciate that. I'll throw that into the suggestion box. I'll run it up a flagpole.
Couple things about this. One, I don't even think you thought North Dakota was the best Dakota. I think you were
No, I was North Dakota. Nate was South Dakota, so I was North. Yep. I do think it's the better Dakota. Yep.
Second of all, this live podcast thing, how nice that I, you know, paved that path there for you guys for me to never go to one of these live podcasts. That's also very nice.
Define how you believe you paved the way.
Oh, I proposed live podcast years ago. Mm. Oh no, we can't do that. Now you're doing live podcast.
Yeah, Secret Squirrel came up with the idea. Secret Squirrel,
of course he did.
Who's like Pod Vader but better? You know, the new Pod Vader. He got it done. He got it done quickly. We're doing another one in Houston in front of the Super Bowl. So
yeah, that's fantastic. When are you going to Halifax, where the people will actually enjoy your company?
Where they love it. I don't know. That's a good question. We'll get to Halifax before North Dakota, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Mm. This one comes from 7-Hour James, longtime 06010 listener back to the War by the Shore days, former Man's League participant and book signee attendee.
Nice. Great.
You clearly lost a bet to Pod to appear here. My guess is that it was along the lines of, if the Pats make the Super Bowl, I'll be a guest. How close is that guess, and what would you have won if the Pats hadn't made it? I assume it's something better than a gorilla suit.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything better than a gorilla suit. Of course, that's a reference to a bet you lost, I believe, based on the Jets' defense. You had to wear a gorilla suit to work all day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good moment.
We're supposed to have in the gorilla suit too, where I would have clearly beaten both you and Nate.
Yeah, well, too bad that didn't happen. Another thing you didn't actually produce. But I did not lose a bet to Pod Vader here. So what can I say? I'm nice. It's the off season. I've known Pod for a long time, so happy to help out an old friend commit a little Pod-dultry.
Nice. Both Anne Hathaway and Megan Fox have seen their careers take a turn for the worse since you originally fought over them with Nate. Do you feel this contributed to their lack of further cinematic success? Since Hollywood is all about remakes these days, would you care to update the casting with two new actresses and potentially wreck their careers?
No, I would not. I'm still partial to those two. No question about it. But yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to show the power of the Pod, the power of the 06010.
I download and don't listen. Have you discussed the marriage of Daisy Fuentes to Richard Marx?
You know what? We didn't. I should have had Nate on to do it. We talked about it, I think, a little bit, but we didn't make a big deal of it or anything like that. We didn't really. We tried to get Daisy on for the last show, and that didn't end up working out. And so, no, we haven't really, to be honest. We should have. A missed opportunity there. What are you going to do? We wish her well. We love Daisy, so we certainly wish her and Richard well.
I thought I had more dating advice questions. I apparently only have one. I'm going to save that one for last.
Okay.
Alan, so I've got two more for you. Alan is in Idaho Springs, Colorado. Matthew, a lot of these super fans seem to drown their sorrows after a tough loss. What is your opinion of Landshark Lager? Maybe you can sell them on laying off the hard stuff and sticking with some easy drinking beers.
I'm a fan of Landshark Lager, of course. It's part of Margaritaville. You know, I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. Fins up, fins to the left. So, I have no issue with Landshark Lager. Drink up. It's good stuff. It's similar to Corona. If you like Corona, I think you'll like Landshark beer.
And then this is one that happened on our podcast this season. Hostess Cupcakes are Little Deb snacks. Where do you stand?
I'm a Hostess Cupcakes guy.
That's right. That's the correct answer. There is a wrong answer. You gave the correct one. I refuse to read this line from Allen, which said, "Rise up, I guess, anyone other than the Patriots."
There's certainly a lot of people that feel that way.
How dare you, Allen? The last dating advice question that we got came to us from Mike. Mike says, "I'm a big Patriots fan. I've been dating my girlfriend now for over 2 years. I'm thinking of proposing to her at the Super Bowl. What do you think?"
I've got no issue with that. I mean, look, here's what I would say in general. The proposal and everything like that, from the proposal all the way through your actual wedding, it's all about her. This is something she has dreamed about as a young girl. She's thought about it a zillion times. Like, and I can tell you, it's unbelievable. So, you know, I have twin daughters that are 5 now. And so, you know, I watch a lot of this stuff with them. And like almost every Disney movie, every kids movie, so much of children's entertainment is about love, is about romance, is about your first kiss, is about finding the true one. So girls are literally from a young age, you can't avoid it. They're always sort of indoctrinated into this world where they spend a lot of time thinking about, oh, who am I going to marry and my one true love and your wedding day. And so understand that the proposal is something that's important. It's something that she'll tell her friends and her family about, that she'll, you know, eventually, hopefully she says yes, and that you'll tell your kids about. And so you want it to be special. And more importantly, you want it to be special to her. And so what I would say is that proposing at the Super Bowl is great as long as it means something to her and not to you. Like he's saying he's a big Falcons fan, right?
No, he's a Patriots fan.
Got it, Patriots fan. He's a big Patriots fan. Sorry. He's a big Patriots fan, which is great, right? And I understand why you're excited and good luck to you and everything like that. But so far that sounds like, now it's one thing, like our first date was a Patriots game. She loves the Patriots too. We bonded over Patriots football. Any of those things make sense to me as a reason to do it. But if the idea is like she's going because she's your girlfriend and you're a big Patriots fan, you know what I mean? Then it sounds to me like that's about you and not her. And so I will tell you, I asked, I've now asked 2 women to marry me, right? I'm on my second marriage. And both women, I asked something very specific to us. So I, my first wife, I asked her to marry me at the place that we met. We went out for our 2-year anniversary, and I believe it or not, we actually met on a basketball court. And so I took her to that same basketball court. I blindfolded her, told her it was a surprise for our 2-year anniversary, took her to the basketball court that we first met on, and I asked her there. My current wife, the very first trip we ever took away was to Florida, to Fort Lauderdale, and so we went away for a vacation there. And so
spring break.
We didn't go on spring break, but it was the first place. I asked her on the beach and everything like that. And so it was, you know, it was romantic and meant something to her and to us as a couple, because that was the first trip we'd ever taken away, together as a couple, to that sort of same beach. And so, that would be my suggestion is, that the proposal needs to be something that is relevant to her and to you guys as a couple in your relationship.
And listen, Mike, I'm the biggest Patriots fan in the world, but you don't want the Patriots to ruin your special day. You know, if the unforeseeable could actually happen and the Patriots lose the Super Bowl, that's going to ruin your day and that's going to ruin your life, because every year you're going to remember how the Patriots lost on the day you proposed to your wife. You don't want that. So I propose that you propose during the Bachelor finale. I think that's a much more appropriate time to get down on a knee and ask the woman to be your wife.
There you go. Exactly. All done.
I was trying to lay you up with something. I couldn't think of anything other than bringing it back to The Bachelor. All right, Matthew Berry, you have so many things. The Fantasy Movie League. I suck at that game. I can't figure it out. Yeah, it appears that...
Well, you got to read the advice on the site.
I do, it requires me to go and do more research, and that's just too much work for me.
Yeah, too much work. Nothing good comes from hustling, you know that.
That's right.
Yeah, sure, fantasymovieleague.com. Be sure to sign up and play for that. The Fantasy Life app is great. It's a great community there. You can check that out. And, we already mentioned it, the Bachelor Podcast, that's what I'm doing, so it's a lot of fun. So, you know, and be sure to check out... Well, listen, if you're listening to this, you're probably a fan, or at least were at one point, of the 06010. So hopefully people come and check that out as well.
Yeah. You know, I did have someone tweet me that we should have invited Nate. That just would have ruined the whole show, wouldn't it have?
It certainly wouldn't have helped it. but good luck. Listen, Nate's got tons, even more. He keeps getting promoted. He's got more and more papers to push these days. So I don't know if you would have been able to get... to get Nate. So yeah, I didn't get your, what was your Bachelor thing? I didn't get that.
No, I was just saying that, I was just saying he should propose on the Bachelor finale. That's all I said. I was just, I was trying to give you something to work with. That was all. It wasn't necessarily funny.
No. Okay.
We know I'm not the one that does the funny. No. I just sit here.
Yeah, stop with the comedy. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the comedy goalie.
That is true. That is true. You are the guy. I forgot about that. You are. That's right. That makes sense.
I will say, when are you going to become a vice president? Because both Nate and I have the VP title. So, I mean, you're the slacker here.
Never. The answer is never. I'll never be a vice president. I'm just, I got a better chance of getting fired than I do of becoming a vice president. I'll put it that way.
There you go. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Matthew, I appreciate you joining me on the show. Thank you so much. And, let's stay in touch a little bit more often than we do.
Sounds good, Pod Vader. Good luck with everything. Good luck to your Patriots.
Thank you so much to Matthew Berry for joining me on today's podcast. I thought it was a nice little reunion. And, I'm going to stand by it. If we had Nate here, he would have ruined the whole thing. Negative Nate. He didn't get that nickname for no reason. But apparently he has a lot more papers to push than I do, even though we are both vice presidents. He's just a vice president at a bigger corporation. All right. Hey. Send in those emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on the upcoming Super Bowl? We got tons of Super Bowl coverage coming your way. And get ready for that draft. If you want to start sending in those types of questions, send them our way. We'll have some draft coverage for you when the Super Bowl is over. So you're going to want to stay tuned, subscribe to the show, share it with a friend. Let your buddies know, hey, this is the podcast I want to listen to, and get the insights on all 32 from the only perspective that matters, that of the fan. Love y'all. Talk to you later. Here's Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.